Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
So the scripture today is from the book of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. I'm not praying only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their word. I pray they will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I pray that they also will be in us, so the world will believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me so that they can be one just as we are one. I'm in them and you are in me, so that they will be made perfectly one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them just as you loved me. Father, I want those you gave to be with me where I am. Then they can see my glory, which you gave me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, even the world didn't know you, but I've known you, and these believers know that you sent me. I've made your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that your love for me will be in them, and I myself will be in them. The word of God for the people of God.
As a congregation in the United Methodist Church, we seek to honor our past while looking toward the future. In one of the most diverse regions of our denomination, we embrace the richness of our varied backgrounds and perspectives because doing so helps us to grow and learn from one another's uniqueness. Together, we build bridges of understanding and celebrate our beautiful and varied heritage. At La Jolla United Methodist Church, we are a church family. Not because we look and think and act the same way, but because we choose to come together in faith and in love. Join us as we explore the beauty of unity in the United Methodist Church.
One of the things that I remember in some of my first days of being a dad, first being a dad of one child, and then later, it was a whole new experience to be a dad a second time with my youngest, with Zach. Cam and Zach are about 5 years apart. Now, I hope that many of you who have had the privilege of being a parent or a caretaker of a child, I know that not everyone has this, and for some, that thought brings a bit of grief, but I hope that we can resonate with the reminder of how important it is to sometimes put the child down and walk away. Sometimes when it's 2 or 3 in the morning, you're up for the 5th time already, and just the crying and the crying and the crying, and you can't figure out what this child with a limited vocabulary is trying to communicate to you. And when you're in those moments, sometimes the best thing is to recognize that as tired as you are, maybe you're someone, maybe you've gotten angry, whatever, fatigue, anger, any of the emotions that can show up at that time can put us in a place where maybe we're not making our best decisions. And so in those cases, sometimes put the child down and walk away. And it's good for everybody. Sometimes I feel like that's how Jesus had to be with the disciples. We know that Jesus had to take time to get away and pray. And I think that's for a number of reasons. One, I think Jesus was an introvert. And I think Jesus sometimes just had to get away for some time with just Jesus and God. Other times I wonder, and at least the Gospel of Matthew seems to be particularly critical of the disciples, I wonder if Jesus needed to just get away because those people are idiots. I would suggest, however, that the text we read from the Gospel of John is not exactly that. And yet it was still an ending. But just like when I would put my child down because I had to walk away, I would come back. Just like Jesus, when he would leave for the reasons that he would leave and pray and be in communion with God, would come back. And Jesus, in the text that was read by Rod this morning, this is the very end of Jesus' culmination of teaching, where Jesus is telling the disciples, I'm going away. And you're going to be okay. And I'm going to be back. And in this moment, Jesus chooses to pray for the disciples. He has already said that I'm leaving. He has already offered some of his most profound instructions. If you read the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John has the most detailed description or narrative of the Last Supper. Do you know that it takes place over John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17? 5 chapters of the Gospel of John are dedicated to the Last Supper. And how does it begin? It begins in chapter 13 with Jesus washing their feet. And how does it end? It ends with Jesus praying for them. Indeed, I might suggest that both were acts of prayer. Now, the first part of the gospel, of the 17th chapter, is a little different than the second half. The second half of the 17th chapter is almost as though the disciples get to hear Jesus' dialogue with God. And part of the way I sort of read it that way is because Jesus seems to be praying for them. And surely with them, but also for them. He lifts them up and prays for their unity. But he says, I'm not praying only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their word, which we might hear to be Jesus in his power, in his timelessness, praying for us. Have you thought about that before? Have you ever thought about the one we name Messiah? The one who we name as Savior of the world, praying for us. He continues to say, I pray they will be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, I pray that they also will be in us so that the world will believe that you sent them. He goes on to pray, acknowledging that he has given them the gifts that they need. He continues to pray for them, acknowledging that he has told them that the world will know who they are by how they show love to one another. He prays for them, and he prays for them to be one. But sometimes I fear that we have lost sight of what it looks like to be one, to be in unity. See, because I believe that this text reminds us that we are called to be one. Not only the 12 who were gathered, well, at that point, the 11 who were gathered with Jesus, but as he prayed for all who would come to faith because of their word, perhaps we might hear that we are all called to be one. But I draw instruction from Jesus in his prayer as he talks about God, just you, as you and I are one. And we know that later on the day of Pentecost, the disciples received the Holy Spirit. And in the classic doctrine of Trinity, we understand the Creator, Son, and Spirit are one. Does that mean they do the same things? Does that mean they act out in the world, make their presence known in the world in the same way? I don't believe that it does. But that doesn't change that they are united. The classic doctrine of the Trinity reminds us that there is mystery in their unity. Ancient theologians from Anselm and others would suggest that Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit are completely one and, in a divine mystery, completely unique. This is the lofty example that Christ offers for us, to be one. To be one and united in our differences. And perhaps we might acknowledge or even celebrate that to be one in our unity might not be in spite of our differences, but because of our differences. And if you say to yourself, how is that possible? Sometimes I wonder the same thing. And yet, I have been in ministry, in ordained ministry, for something like, my first full-time appointment was 2011, but I had a 3-year internship before then. So from 2008 till today. And I continue to see people in congregations and people outside of churches who come from such different backgrounds and have so many different ideas about what it means to be a presence of light and love in the world. Those who would live out the world in such a way that they are embodying the Christ-like love that in the Gospel of John, Jesus commands for his disciples. And I see that light and that hope and that beauty. I've been in congregations that lean both theologically and politically to the left, and I have been in congregations that are very centrist in both of those categories, and I've been in congregations that lean more to the right in more of those categories, and in every single circumstance, we are united in Christ. We are united in our Creator. We are united in Christ's, in God's Holy Spirit. And in this congregation, I know that it takes incredible work to bring music and harmonies out of different voices. And you all do that every single week. I know that in this congregation, every Sunday morning, a group of people with diverse ideas and diverse backgrounds gather together in our library as part of our Explorers group. And whether or not there is agreement or disagreement, there is community. I know our leaders of our women's Bible study bring great perspective and do so with joy and hope. I know that the leader of our various men's Bible studies, the Thursday morning study, the Wednesday evening study, each bring their unique view on sacred text and how it might inform our lives, and it's beautiful. Even our ushers' teams, with leadership that brings people of diverse backgrounds and perspectives. Although Peter would say we got to make sure we wear our ties. If this isn't a symbol of unity and diversity, if this isn't a reminder that it's possible to be one, then I'm not sure what is. I think of our UMW and all the folks who gather together for our annual rummage sale, and it's beautiful. Because of COVID, I've only been able to come to one. I can't wait for the next one. Because we express, we embody God's call to be one. Now, as a denomination, we are continuing this work. And I would suggest that it's not easy work. And yet we've talked over the course of this series about the importance of our denomination and the connectional nature of our denomination. I hope that this text from the Gospel of John reminds us that doing so is responding to Christ's call. But I also, and Pastor Tara has brought it up a couple times, I also want to say that it's the connectional nature of the church that reminds us that sometimes we need to step away and that enables us to step away. We're going to have a church council meeting today after worship, and one of the things you're going to hear is a report put together by Sandy McCrite, and it's been reviewed by Cam and AJ, who are also our lay members to the annual conference. Our bishop, we have a brand new bishop, Bishop Dottie Escobedo Frank, in her opening address reminded all persons, both laity and clergy, about the importance of taking some time to rest. And whether it's because we need to get away and take some time to rest because we're simply exhausted and we're not at our best selves, or we're taking time to get away because we can't think straight because we're so mad at some of these people. The importance of taking time to rest. And Pastor Tara has shared, and I've shared in church council meetings, that I'm taking a sabbatical, a renewal leave, however we want to title it. And I want to be really clear that it's because I'm tired. It's not because I'm mad at anybody. But it is our connectional system that makes this possible. It is the excellent leadership that is already present in this congregation. It is the support of district superintendents. It is the support of funding from the annual conference that helps make this possible. And so as I talk about the importance of being one, I do so acknowledging that I'm going to leave for a few months. But I plan to come back. And I plan to come back better than I was, or at least better than I am. I plan to come back with energy and hope and maybe a few new ideas. But I also thought you all might like to know a little bit about what I plan to do. I have a couple of trips planned. You see, I think it's important to spend some time during this for direct spiritual growth, and there's a way that I'll do that. But also to just rest and get away for a bit. So you should know I have a couple of trips planned. Cam and Zach and I, we're going to Maui. Yeah. And that'll be fun. And I have another trip planned in the end of September where we plan to visit Europe. And so that will be fun. And that will be relaxation. But I would suggest that that's not my primary focus during this time away. That's going to be good. But it's not my primary focus. You see, for me, one of the primary ways I connect with my spirit is in music. I have had the privilege over the course of this summer to go and be a part of four different United Methodist camps. Now, I wasn't gone for 4 weeks. I was gone for 1 week at senior high camp up at Camp Cedar Glen. But the week that followed that was junior high camp up there. I wasn't there for the whole week, but they asked me to come up one day to lead music. There was another junior high camp at another camp called Lazy W up in San Juan Capistrano, and I spent 1 day at their junior high camp providing music and 1 day at their senior high camp providing music for me. Music is when I feel closest to God. And so my primary goal during my 3-month leave is to develop a 5 or maybe even 6 song project that I plan to release on the various streaming platforms so you all can listen to them on your computers or mobile devices if you like them, and if you don't, that's okay. And I thought I'd share some samples with you this morning. Would that be okay? There are a variety of songs that will be part of this project. All of them are either original songs, meaning I wrote them, or original arrangements, which might mean that others wrote them and I simply arranged them. This first song, and I'm just going to play Here's my plan for this, and our AV folks are prepared. I'll play for you just a little bit of a snippet here on my guitar, but then I'll give you a sample of what the completed project might sound. These are rudimentary recordings, but a rudimentary sample of what these might sound like. This first one, you'll see a number of names up there, Holy Spirit, Breathe on Me. It's actually a rewrite of a classic hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. And you can find those verses in the hymnals in front of you, page 420. But then I wrote an additional stanza that goes in it. But it's going to sound a little bit like this.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will.
That's just one sample, and one of the you may know that this the point of this hymn number 420, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, really calls back to the creation story in Genesis, and it talks about the breath given to the first human. Well, you know I love Pentecost, and there's such deep. I don't know what's beeping. I'm not sure if that's me or not. There's such. Oh yes, it is me. When my coat sleeve hits my watch, it made my phone go off. That's funny. So you know I love Pentecost. And for me, there's a deep correlation between the breath of God and creation and the Spirit, the breath, the wind that the disciples hear at the moment of Pentecost. So I took this hymn about the breath of God and connected it with the moment of Pentecost because I think they're connected. But here, and we have a recording back there, here is a sample of what this might look like. Let's go, Cam. So that's just a sample. You hear my rock and roll coming out. I want to say that Cam is playing bass on that track and will be on bass on all the tracks that we play. Yeah. And I'm working on how to get Zach in there too. He and I were doing some singing together yesterday. Here's another song. You know, one of the songs, this one's in a completely original song. You know, as I listen to Christian music, there's not a lot of music on the classical notion of theodicy. Theodicy being, where is God when bad things happen? And so it was a project for a class in seminary. I wrote a song called Where Are You? And it goes like this.
Shakes and my heart breaks, where are you? In revealing that sinking feeling, where are you? I'm on hallowed ground and I feel like I'm drowning. homeward bound, and still I feel like I'm drowning. But if I close my eyes, I can see your face. If I can just let go, I can feel your grace. And if I close my eyes, I may not feel so small. If I can just let go, then I can hear you call to me.
And here's a little bit of what that might sound like.
When the earth shakes and my heart breaks, where are you? Like I'm drowning, and I'm homeward bound, but still I feel like I'm drowning. But if I close my eyes, I can see your face. If I can just let go, I can feel your grace. And if I close my eyes, so small. If I can just let go, then I can hear you call.
Including some background vocals. And then here's the last one that I wish to share with you. This is one of my older original songs. This is a song about the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. It goes, on acoustic guitar, it goes like this.
I've been looking for something, but I don't know what. I've been looking for someone, it seems I forgot. I feel lost. I'm lost and searching. I've been heading somewhere, but I've lost my way. I'm too tired of searching, I just fade away. I feel lost. I'm lost and searching, but it seems I'm not the only one who's searching. There's someone out there calling out my name. I fall into this grace, there's love in every face. He's been searching for me.
Now this one is the most edgy. Are you ready? See why I describe that as the edgiest. I plan to take some time away in deep confidence in you all and in you, that you will do the work that we are called together to do and do so in unity. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we can be known by the fruits of our labors. Christ says we can be known by the way we share our love. And in the Gospel of Mark, Christ reminds us that anyone who's not against is with. Together we move forward in hope, in light, in unity, and in love. Amen.